Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
How is the Iowa agricultural economy doing? Let's go in depth with ag bankers Leslie Miller and Casey Gearhart with Iowa State Savings Bank, Knoxville. Lots happening in the agriculture economy. Let's start with the new trade agreement with Mexico and Canada. How does that look to you?
They've held out really a lot of promises that I don't think will be fulfilled. For example, right now, Canadian dairy farmers get $24 a hundredweight for their milk. Our U.S. producers get 15. And so you would think with that, you know, we could send a lot of milk to Canada and help our producers. But the fact of the matter is that agreement will only open up 4% of the Canadian market to U.S. producers. So the Dairy Federation has figured basically our dairy producers will get 1 cent per gallon of benefit out of this agreement.
This was supposedly a major victory for Trump, especially with respect to dairy, and you're saying it isn't?
It is not a victory for dairy at all. And we have the same situation, you know, really as far as pork is concerned, not really as much with the USMCA, the Canadian and Mexican agreement, but somewhat with that, people were saying, oh, this will help the pork industry. It's not really got as much impact there as the Chinese tariff situation. They're putting as much as 70% tariffs on pork. And so the impact that has had on our pork industry is much more relevant than Mexico is, especially with the population that China has. I mean, the average Chinese person eats close to 90 pounds of pork a year. You know, we only eat about 60 in the United States. So they eat a lot more pork, and there's a lot more people there, and they can't produce enough pork. Plus, they have swine fever, African swine fever, affecting their herds now, which is killing off a lot of their pork supply. And sadly, and very dangerously for the U.S. consumers, Chinese have left China with pork products that are contaminated with the African swine fever. They've been allowed to leave the country with sausage products or ham products that were produced in China and were tainted with African swine fever. That virus can live in pork for up to 1 year after it's been processed. Now, fortunately in America, we don't let that happen, but we have much tighter food controls over the quality of our food than they do in China. So we have to really monitor that situation heavily and make sure that the Chinese do not send us a bunch of tainted pork, because then they would contaminate potentially our pork supply.
Why would they send us pork? They need our pork and we're not getting it to them.
They will send us pork in the form of dog and cat treats. If you look at the labels, a lot of the dog treats are made in China. And so, you know, my question is, how do we know those are safe and not tainted at this point in time with the outbreaks that they've had? I don't know that we know that. But that's something that I think all consumers should be aware of and be concerned about.
Let's talk briefly what's happening with beef.
Last summer, we talked a lot about the wall of beef that we had to chew through as far as supply was concerned, and that didn't really happen. And one thing that we've noticed, as far as beef exports are concerned with relationship to China, after the tariff situation went into place, we saw a decline in exports by 47% after May when the tariffs went into place. So that's had a major impact on our supply. Globally, some of the things that we're looking at in terms of the years ahead, global production is set to increase ever so slightly, but enough so to make enough of an impact that our price point isn't going to see a major change. So we're looking at overall national and global herd expansion, increased supply, and then the export volume is likely to stay the same or maybe a little bit less than what we're seeing currently.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the agricultural economy with ag bankers Leslie Miller and Casey Gearhart with Iowa State Savings Bank in Knoxville.
Prices will go down in the supermarket, but profits aren't great for the cattle person.
Profits are, depending on what you're doing right now, depending on what your operation looks like, there are some profits to be had, but no, we're not going to see a major uptick in profits to be had by the producer. So some of the things that we looked at, we've had several guys that have backgrounded cattle in the past and sold them off the, you know, after weaning, but we've actually got some guys that have shifted their operation a little bit to finish some cattle this year, and there has been some opportunity for profit that's presented itself here in the last few months. If you look at the February live chart, we have been sitting at $1.22 for a finished price for February of 19 for the last couple weeks now, and that's been something that is yielding some significant opportunity for profit in the next few months. Some numbers that I ran here not too long ago, we had an opportunity to buy feeder cattle in that 6 to 650 pound range for between $1.45 and $1.60 last spring. And what I have seen, you had, if you look at high purchase price and low sale price, there is still an opportunity for profit for guys to have purchased 650 pound calves at $1.65. If you average $250 a head in feed cost, you can still make a profit at a 1,200-pound finish weight at $1.15. Well, we know our margins are better than that. We know that the feed cost is probably going to stay relatively consistent as far as that $250 mark. But we're looking at potentially finishing somewhere around 1,300 pounds, which is really what demand is looking for. They're putting a lot of extra weight on these cattle. With corn as cheap as it is, there's really not a lot of reason not to. And they're not taking a huge hit at the packer for heavier weights, so that's what these guys are doing. And at $1.22, it's profitable by about $150 to $200 a head.
Well, that's good news.
It's good news.
It is.
And they're not making money at pork, though.
No, not making money in pork. And, of course, corn and soybeans are equally depressing, if you will. We do have some fairly good yields, especially in the northern part of the county. Some of the reports for yields, you know, we go from the northern part of Lucas County, where some of those producers are at 145 bushels because they had tremendously dry weather over the summer. You go into the southern portion of Lucas County, and you're in that 260 bushel per acre range.
Jasper County, excuse me.
We had 260 bushels per acre. And then you look at soybeans, and we're from like 42 bushel again down in Lucas County where it was dry and then it was too wet. And up in Jasper County, they've had some 72 bushel yields. So we have a tremendous range in yields here. In general, if you don't go too far south, in general, people have produced just enough extra corn this year that it does offset some of the lower pricing on corn right now. And if they forward contracted any of it and locked in better prices earlier in the year, you know, corn's going to be okay. Soybeans, we could not project a profit in soybeans at the beginning of the year, and we still can't, even with that 82 cents a bushel payment or $1.65 on half your bushels that the government offered. The fact of the matter is that farmers have lost close to $2 per bushel in value since the tariffs were announced, and they're getting 82 cents of that back. So the government's not getting anywhere close to making soybean growers whole. Even though they do have extra bushels, they still are not going to have much profitability as far as soybeans are concerned. You know, I guess I'd like to see farmers draw a line in the sand. You know, they have publicly seemed very, very patient with actions that the government's taken with the tariffs towards the Chinese. But the fact of the matter is that our soybean exports for September were down 96% from a year ago. And we can't be patient anymore. We might have some extra bushels that help us this year, help us kind of hold things together. But we have to put cash flows together this winter that show that these operations can make it. And with the prices we have, we can't do that. We cannot do that. And so I think farmers need to let people know we're not going to be patient anymore. We need you to fix this now. And I think a lot of farmers' livelihoods depend on that.
On just solving the whole tariff problem, getting
yes.
rid of... Well, what would you do? Let's say President Trump's sitting here, right here with us. What would you tell President Trump? He wanted to know really what you two thought. What would you tell him?
The whole thing has been on intellectual property theft. We have a patent system where anything that you invent and patent is registered. So if the Chinese have stolen that patent and not paid for it, it would be very easy for that system to be used to ban whatever product it is that they're trying to import into the United States. No, you violated patent authority. You cannot import that. Now, granted, there's other countries out there that might buy it, but we are a major consumer, and that would have somewhat of an impact. The other thing is, you know, the Chinese have been very good at holding U.S. corporations hostage in terms of you have to set up certain agreements with their government, things like that, to be able to trade with them. And so, again, that's not ag-related. And even so, if they solve all those problems and they say, okay, now we can have a level trading field, the fact of the matter is, unfortunately for U.S. commodities, we will never have a level trading field because of the fact that the USDA tells the world everything they want to know about our crop production, what's stored, what's out there, what they can anticipate to be grown. Our agricultural industry in the United States is an open book to every country. The Chinese tell people nothing, and if they do tell them something, it might actually be a flat, outright lie. So we can't ever have a level trading field as far as working with the Chinese on commodities. And so if you want to level the playing field on other items, work on those other items, leave commodities alone.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the agricultural economy with ag bankers Leslie Miller and Casey Gearhart with Iowa State Savings Bank in Knoxville. Okay, and if President Trump were asking you for your advice, Casey?
Well, I'd be flattered. But I think that my question would be, I've talked to several farmers that have said, you know, we're in total support. This is great. This needs to happen. We need reform. And maybe so, but my question is, do you have any idea what your long-term implication is going to be? And do you understand the impact of what's going on in the short term and what you've actually taken away by imposing the tariffs on China and the situation that we're in today? So I think, to me, this is something that may, in fact, be beneficial in the long term. But in terms of long term, that's a 10 to a 20-year deal. That's not 6 months. That's not a long-term situation. So the impact that it's having on our farmers, on our guys locally here in Iowa, is so much bigger than I think anybody ever imagined it would be.
In addition to that, we're actually making other farmers or other governments very wealthy. Right now, if China imported beans from us and paid a tariff, they would actually pay less for the beans than they would have on May 1st of this year because beans have fallen so much. But what's actually happening is countries like Argentina, African countries, are buying beans from us and reselling them to China. What happens is all those countries are making money off of our tariff position, and that, in fact, happens quite a bit with tariffs invoked by any government at any point in time in our history.
One of the things that I think about is agriculture is, what, 3 or 4% of the GDP? And so agriculture could be in trouble, in real trouble, but you wouldn't even notice it in the economy as reflected by the GDP.
That's very true, except for now, this morning, I picked up an article, I think it was a Reuters article, where they're talking about how longshoremen in Seattle are suffering because we are not sending crops to China. So there are ripple effects that certainly spread out from the agricultural economy, and they can be much more far-reaching, especially in the state of Iowa, especially in the state of Iowa.
Any last thoughts you want to share today?
So a couple of other things that we have noticed as guys are starting to, you know, pull crop out of the field and take it in, there has been some widespread damage that we've seen, you know, with all the flooding that happened here in the last few months. We've seen some beans start to sprout in the pod, which is obviously going to make it difficult to make a sale. And a lot of these guys that are going in, they're getting some damage that the co-op is saying that they've got. So one of the things that I want to make people aware of is, in the event that there is damage, that you have damage to your crop, number one, get in there and get it weighed, because you can still get your government payment as long as they've weighed and measured what you've got. But the one thing that you have to keep in mind is you do have to hold that crop on hand so that it can be inspected before you can get your crop insurance or your MFP payment from the government. That is something that I wanted to make people aware of. Even if they can't be delivered, you still have to hold on to that damaged crop.
And Leslie, anything else you'd like to share?
Well, I was going to say, one thing I would encourage consumers out there, right now, even though beef prices are reasonable in the supermarket, there's still a fairly wide spread between what the producer's getting and what consumers pay in the grocery store. We do have several local producers that do raise beef, that you can buy a beef from them, have it taken to the locker, and butchered and put good quality meat in your freezer for a very reasonable price. Plus, we have a lot of producers that have become what's called BQA certified. It's a beef quality assurance measure that is being put in place to assure that animals are produced humanely and in a manner that assures people they have a safe supply of beef. And so if people are interested in freezer beef, you can reach out to the Marion County Cattlemen's Association. They can put you in contact with producers that might be able to help you with that.
Thanks to Leslie Miller and Casey Gearhart for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com. On demand or for download, just click Radio Plus. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to BobLeonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in Marion County is KNIAKRLS.